Job was experiencing the crumbling of his life. It was literally falling apart. Job was, without a doubt, the wealthiest man on earth at this particular time in history, or so we believe. But he was also a man who was totally and completely devoted to God. But there came a time when all hell broke loose around him. One day, he received news that some marauders had come in and had stolen all of his oxen and donkeys. And then a day or so later, he received word that all of his sheep and the shepherds who were tending them were all killed. All of his other servants, on another day, it was reported back to him, had been slaughtered and murdered by some foreign powers that had come in to his property. And then the final kind of piece of news that brought him crushingly down to his knees, his sons and daughters were gathered in his brother's house, and they were celebrating some event, and a tornado struck the house and killed his sons and his daughters, and his brother. It was just Job and his wife and nothing else now. And if that was not bad enough, somehow and for some reason, Job contracted a nasty series of boils that filled his body. And he had to live outside the town walls, sitting on the garbage heap of the town, scraping the oozing, bleeding boils to receive some comfort. Now, I remind you, this is a man who was fully and completely devoted to God. And here he is now, surrounded by the loss of everything and everyone he held near and dear to his heart. And he is suffering great pain because of these huge boils. And the worst part of it all is that God seemed nowhere to be found. Listen to his cry again, would you? He says, "If I only knew where to find him. If only I could go to his dwelling. But if I go to the east, he's not there. If I go to the west, I can't find him. And when he is at work in the north, I don't see him. And when he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him." Have you had the awful experience of entering into a storm of some kind? And while you're engaged in your own personal storm and trauma and suffering and agony, God seems nowhere to be found in the midst of your suffering. Have you been there? Perhaps your storm was a loss of a business or a loss of a job, or maybe a loss of marriage, or perhaps broken relationships with family members, children, health issues, sicknesses, disease, the death, the passing of a loved one, and the beat goes on. You could fill in the blank of your own personal turmoil and storm and struggle, and you found yourself in the midst of it, And God seemed to be absent. Well, did you know that that's a common experience? Even for the most spiritual among us. You're not an oddball if you have gone through a storm, and maybe you're engaged in it right now, and you try to pray, but God seems far away, and you don't even have the words to express prayer properly, and you fumble all over yourself, and you wonder, God, where are you? When are you going to come and help me? That is indeed a common experience from time to time that we go through, and it seems like God is hiding. Does God hide? Well, I would suggest to you it certainly must have felt like that to Noah as he was floating on that gigantic ark with nothing but water in view. Do you understand that according to Genesis 7 and verse 24, that the waters, the flood, filled the earth for 150 days? It must have seemed like God was hiding to the Hebrew people when for 400 years they were in slavery in Egypt and cried out to God and prayed to God, and nothing happened for 400 years. That certainly must have felt like that to the prophet Habakkuk when he wrote in his prophecy, chapter 1 and verse 2, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save?" God hiding certainly must have seemed so to Isaiah, as you heard, as Lisa shared with us the context, because a major power, the Assyrians, were threatening to come down and obliterate them. And nothing seemed to be happening that they could see. And so Isaiah said, "You are a God who hides." Or does God hide? I have good news for you. No, He does not. No, He does not. Oh, it seems like it. It looks like it. It feels like it. But I promise you, somewhere in the shadows, you will find Jesus standing, observing, watching, taking care of you while your feelings say it doesn't feel like it. Well, what causes those moments in our life when God seems to be distant? There are several things I would suggest to you, and I'll do them very quickly before we come to the Lord's table. Number one, the obvious one is this, that unconfessed sin in our life will cause us to feel distant from God. If there's sin in your life or in my life that we're trying to sweep under the rug and cover up and excuse and ignore, and we don't deal with it in the way in which God has provided for us to deal with it, I promise you, friends, that unconfessed sin will feel like God has started to hide from us. There will be a distance between us and God. Isaiah 59, verses 1 to 2 says this, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear." As soon as you know that you've blown it with God, as soon as you know there's areas of your life that shouldn't be there, run to God, ask Him for forgiveness, because to not do so causes a chasm. Well, secondly, sometimes God becomes distant to us, or so it feels, And so it seems, because we've grieved him with the shallow, glib way in which we treat him. Think about it for a moment. We often, if we're not careful, will think and speak of God in very glib terms as man upstairs. Or we use his name in vain. Remember one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not use the name of the Lord your God in vain. What does that mean? It doesn't just mean that we use his name as a swear word and tack it on with our anger. It doesn't just mean that. Certainly that's a part of it. But the scary part of that commandment is this, that when you and I take the name of God upon ourselves and call ourselves a child of God, and then we live in a way that is diametrically opposed to God, we are offensive to him, and we are taking his name in vain. Leonard Griffith was a great British preacher who spent most of his time in Canada at a large church there, said this, quote, after hearing his name irreverently mouthed by people who have no serious intention of honoring it, God may indeed have created a silence about himself until people learn again that sacred name and express it with reverence and godly fear. And thirdly, sometimes there's a distance that we feel between ourselves and God because there are times when you and I are looking for God in the wrong places. Without a doubt, all of us in this sanctuary, I include myself, we expect God to be in the happy, joy-filled, lovely, wonderful experiences of life. Yes, God couldn't be closer. God couldn't be blessing us any better. But don't you know that God can also be in the storm? God can be in sickness as well as in health. God can be in our defeat as well as our victory. He can be in the palace as well as the manger. He can even be with us in the valley of the shadow of death. You see, sometimes we just expect God to be present when we're happy and full of joy. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes we've got to walk into the valley. And even there, God is with us and it's not hiding, even though it feels like it. Well, here's a final thing I'd mention for you. Sometimes that distance between us and God when we're going through difficulty is because God has deliberately allowed us to experience his absence so that we can live by faith, not by feeling. Well, that's important because so often we go by our feelings, but God wants us to live by faith. Now, faith has been greatly misunderstood in the church down through the years. For some people, faith is a leap into the dark and we just hope and pray there's somebody there to catch us. That's not faith. That's fate. It's not faith. What's faith? Let me tell you, my friends, faith is built on facts. Oh, yes, it is. You see, as Christians, what we say this, fact number one, there is a God. And that God is in control of all things. And nothing catches him by surprise. Fact number one, there is a God. He's in control. Fact number two, this God has shown us that he cares for us and loves us and has come to save us and redeem us and to make us his children. That's fact number two. This God loves you, cares for you, is right there with you. Fact number three is this God promised us he would never leave he would never forsake. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, a quote from Jesus, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." So my dear friends, listen to me. There are times when God seems a million miles away, and you've just got to simply reject the feelings you've got and say, "You know what, God? I don't feel you. It doesn't seem like you're here. I can't see any evidence that you're here, but I am going to believe that you are here and that somehow in your own time you're going to get me through the storm, because you keep your promise and you will never leave and you will never forsake me, even though it feels like it." We sing a hymn here in this church. We'll have to sing it some Sunday. "How Firm a Foundation." And there's a verse in that song that says this, "And when hoary hairs shall their temples adorn." I have hoary hairs, by the way. "And when hoary hairs shall their temples adorn, like lambs they shall still in my bosom be born. That soul, though all hell shall endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake." And if you believe that, would you say amen? Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, thank you for those times when all hell breaks loose in our life and we can't see a way out and we feel like you're nowhere to be found and our prayers don't seem to be working and our heart is aching, but we thank you, God, that your promise is real, your promise is true. You're not hiding. Seems like it. You've not forsaken us. You never will. You're there, and we're going to trust you. As Job said in another place, "Though he slays me, I will trust him." And that's where we are today as well, Lord Jesus. In your holy and precious and glorious name, I ask it for all of us. Amen. Amen.